You ever stopped and thought about that truth that we just sang about? That God loves us like he loved his son? You think about that. He's made us his own. That's good to think about. Maybe even to think about first thing in the morning, because it kind of sets the rest of the day in perspective, doesn't it? Well, good morning, RBC family, brothers and sisters. It's so good to be gathered together with you again, and I so look forward to Sunday mornings. We're in our second week of a brief two-week study on the topic of church membership, and again, we're going to be looking at several passages of Scripture this morning. Well, before we read, as always, let's ask God to prepare our hearts to receive His Word. Father, we do ask that you would prepare us now to hear your word, to hear your message to us communicated through your word this morning. Lord, I feel the weightiness of the task before me, and so independence, Lord, I ask that you would help me to accomplish the task before me, to accomplish the task that all preachers and teachers of your word we are incredibly dependent upon you. Father, if your spirit doesn't do the work, then it's not going to be done. I thank you that this church loves your word, Lord, that we treasure your word. It is precious to us. And so I ask that your spirit might come now and help me to be faithful to it. And for the hearers of the word, Lord, I pray that you would illumine our minds, that you would give us the gift of understanding, and that you would add to the gift of understanding, Lord, responsiveness, for that we would not just be hearers of your word, but also doers of your word as well. And may this all be for your glory and for our sanctification. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, last week we asked the question, is church membership in the Bible? And we discovered that while the term church membership is not in any text, the concept of church membership is assumed as people work out their salvation here on this earth. Scripture makes very clear that every believer, both past, present, future, is part of the universal church, the worldwide past, present, future community of God's people. But Scripture also uses some very vivid pictures to point us to a deep commitment to a local church. So we saw this image of a body where every part, every person in the body is useful and needed as we use our gifts, as we minister to one another. The image of a body. We also saw the image of a family where every member is loved. They're identified as belonging to a certain group of people. And then we also saw this imagery of a flock where every member is cared for and lives under the authority of certain specific shepherds. So every believer is part of the universal church. We're going to look at that again. And every believer ought to be deeply committed to a local church. And that's where we're going to spend a majority of our time this morning. But here's the question I want to ask us this morning. Does that deep commitment automatically mean formal membership? Does that commitment to be deeply ingrained in the life of a local body, does that automatically mean formal membership? I've heard the question put this way before. If I come and I worship as often as the members do, and if I fellowship with these believers as much as anyone else does, and if I profit from the teaching and other ministries of the church, and if I actively am demonstrating love for my brothers and sisters in Christ, why should I formally join the church? And brothers and sisters, that's a great question. It's a good question. If I do everything that the members do, why is it necessary for me to be a formal member, do a formal joining of the church? Now, as I already mentioned, again, there's no place in the Bible that explicitly directs us towards formal membership in the local church. And so what I want us to do this morning, what we need to do this morning, is to examine what does the Bible actually say about the church. And on the basis of that, ask, Is membership the best way to demonstrate or express what this book teaches about the church? And by the way, that's your responsibility every Sunday morning. Okay, we don't come and passively just listen to the word. We are coming and we're actively determining, is what's being said up here being reflected in what's being written in here? Okay, so we're not passive listeners. We're active listeners asking, is what this man is saying from the pulpit, is it reflective of what's being communicated in the word of God? We do that every Sunday. That was a rabbit trail. Let me get back to my notes. Okay, so let me just say this. Membership is, it's not something that adds to our salvation. There's not a higher level of acceptability before God. We don't do this so that we might be closer to Christ in our in his salvific work for us. Membership is primarily a public statement. Okay, I want you to hear that. Membership is primarily a public statement. So this morning, I want to look at four statements that we are making when we join a local church membership. Okay, what are we saying? Okay, first public statement is number one, membership says, I believe God has saved me and that he's joined me to this local body. If you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And again, this is going to be a bit of a review for those of you who were here last week, but it's essential that we start our study here this morning. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just going to be reading verse 12 here. So Paul's talking about the physical body here. He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. And now he's going to start talking about the church here. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So when you put your faith in Christ Jesus, many things happen. One of which is that the Holy Spirit joins you to a specific, to the body of Christ, which is the church, okay? And when the Bible speaks of the church, again, it's talking about all believers, the universal church. When you were saved, God baptized you into the body of all believers. But the Bible also uses that word church to talk about local churches. So you think about the epistles. Paul would say to the church in Thessalonica. Well, I didn't say that right. Yeah, maybe I did. Moving on. To the church in Ephesus, to the church in Corinth, to the church in Rome, specific churches. And what the Bible consistently teaches is that God intends for those who have been saved to join themselves to a local body as an expression of their participation in the larger body. So church membership, again, it doesn't save you. It will never save you. In fact, what church membership does is that it actually gives testimony that you are saved, that you are part of this larger body. And so God is saying, I've accomplished this work of salvation in your life, and you've been joined to the larger body. And now I'm asking you to join yourself to a local body, to give yourself to a local church body, which will give testimony that you've been brought into this larger body. So you are saying, by joining the church, I've been saved. God has wrought salvation in my life. I'm part of this larger body, and now my connection to this local body is simply a testimony that God has been at work in my life, and he's joined me to this larger body. But God doesn't stop there at the work of salvation. God is still working. He's very intentional about continuing his work in your life. And so he doesn't just say, okay, I've saved you. Now it's your responsibility to go find a local church. Go search around and you do your part in joining a local church. You get involved. Now God's actually very involved in the process. He's hands on. We're still there in 1 Corinthians 12. I want to highlight three verses here. We're not going to read all of them, but I want to highlight some key phrases that we see in this metaphor of the body. And so look at verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Drop down to verse 24. But God has so composed the body. Drop down to verse 28. And God has appointed in the church. So, excuse me, do you see what Paul's saying there? He's actually hands-on. He's in fact joining particular people to particular local churches, and he's doing so in a very specific way because he's seeking to build his church through this particular well-determined orchestration of body parts. And so every believer ought to be asking the question, what local church are you joining me to, Lord? Do you see how radically different this is than the way that we typically, I'm afraid many believers in our day and age in Western church society do? Many believers think, okay, it's my choice to now start shopping around for a local church. So it's got to have good music. It's got to have good teaching. It's got to have a coffee ministry. It's got to have this and this and this and this or whatever, whatever our preferences are. This passage actually tells us that it should be the opposite. God has saved me, and so my posture should be, Lord, I know your word teaches me that you want me to join a local church, and so I'm asking God, what church are you joining me to? What church are you joining me to? I'm eagerly pursuing your direction. I'm pursuing your counsel. I'm pursuing your wisdom. So this isn't about church shopping. This is about me, Lord, looking to you, asking for your guidance. Where are you placing me? So when we receive the affirmation of God, that's the place that we need to commit. And so the basic assumption is that it's God's intent that every Christian be fitted in, be joining a local church. You ought to be somewhere. You ought not be floating or drifting. You should be deeply committed to a local church. If you're a believer here this morning, that is God's intention for your life. That's the way he works out his good pleasure in your life. So it should be your desire to join a local church, and our posture is, Lord, which one? Show me where you want me to be. First reason why you should think seriously about joining a church is because membership declares publicly, I know God has saved me, and I believe he has joined me to this local church body. When you become a member, you're saying, I believe God wants me here. Okay, number two, membership says, I'm committed to God's work through this church. I'm committed to God's work through this church. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 10 and 11. Again, this is Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, and we read here that it's God's intent that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what's God's eternal purpose? It's to provide salvation for mankind. And that eternal purpose was accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross. But now that purpose is being worked out in specific people's lives. Where? Well, this is audience participation. Where are God's purposes being worked out? Yeah, when we read the New Testament, we see that God has very clearly said he's committed to carrying out his purposes for his people through the local church. And so this is how I think the logic should go. If God's work in the world and God's glory in all creation is our number one priority, and if God is committed to the local church as a place where his work will be accomplished for his glory, do you see what the conclusion is? We should be committed to the local church. God is calling us to a specific place to channel our commitment to his great mission. And we communicate that through a deep commitment to a local church. I think we're plagued in our culture with commitment phobia. We're plagued in our day and age with commitment phobia. We live in an age of church shopping. And so can I speak very directly to those this morning that are just about church shopping? I know it doesn't include everybody, but I want to speak to you. Don't fall into this error. Don't go to one church for a little while until you're disappointed, and then go to another church until something bad happens and you want to leave, and then go to another church for a little while. God calls you to commit yourself to a local church. And so I think this commitment phobia sometimes comes because we're afraid that by making a commitment, we might get ourselves entangled in something that's less than what we hope for. Or we're kind of keeping our options open just in case something better comes along. And so imagine here, let's put flesh on this. Imagine that there's a couple named John and Mary, or Jacob and Cheryl, or I know he's not here, so I could use him. No, we'll say John and Mary. And they've been dating for 10 years. That's why this wouldn't apply to them. John has seen nobody. He's seen nobody except Mary. And every time they're together, he makes sure that he communicates to Mary, "Mary, I love you. I'm committed to you." And Mary says, I'm committed to you, John." But 10 years goes by. And finally, in her discouragement, Mary goes to John and she says, "John, why haven't you asked me to marry you yet?" And John says, "Well, Mary, I love you, but I just want to be sure. I want to keep my options open just in case. But, oh, Mary, I love you, though. But I'm just, you never know what's going to happen." Folks, let's recognize right off the bat, okay? Let's just get this out of the way. There's no perfect churches. I'm going to amen that. There's no perfect churches. We all want to find the perfect church, don't we? Problem is, it doesn't exist. You know, there may be a honeymoon phase when you arrive at a church, but before long, conflicts and complications, they arise, don't they? You will encounter imperfections here at RBC, I promise you, okay? But isn't that the point of God joining us together? God's desire is to use imperfect people to sanctify and mold his church into the glorious image of his son. That's why Ephesians 3 is so incredible. That's why the angels marvel at the wisdom of God. Only God could do that. Only God could take imperfect people and mold them into the perfect image of his son. That's God's intention in the church. This is a little bit of a rabbit trail, but it's worth it. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. I want to drive this home. I'm going to read it while you're turning there, but 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Here's the heart of Paul. "I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong." God reminds us of our weaknesses so that we might depend and delight in his good purposes. So, folks, despite the imperfections, our goal should be to discover, "God, are you joining me here? And if you're not joining me here, where are you joining me? But if you are joining me here, then I want to take that seriously, and I want to commit myself to this work because I know this is the place where you are working out your purposes in the world." And please, let me say this. I'm in no way speaking to those who are visiting or those who are sincerely and actively seeking God's will in a decision about a church home. I know that there's a number of you that desire to be members, and you are continually evaluating the doctrines and particular practices of RBC. And I pray that you might have wisdom as you evaluate that very carefully. In fact, in his book, write this down if you're taking notes, Spiritual Disciplines Within the Church, Donald Whitney actually has a chapter on how to research the church, how to ask good questions before you commit to a local body. But before long, I think the decision ought to be made. It should not be put off. So membership announces, I'm committed to God's work through this particular church. This is where I belong. This is where I will spend my energy. This is where I will spend my time and my resources. This is where I will serve and see God's purposes worked out. Okay, that's number two. Number three here. Membership says, I recognize I'm accountable to other believers for my life as a Christian. I recognize that I am accountable to other believers in my life as a Christian. Bible gives some very specific structures of accountability. Matthew 18 talks about a very specific structure of accountability. We refer to it as church discipline, where when an unbeliever acts like a believer acts like an unbeliever, there's a method in which we as a church can go in love and say, something's not right here, brother. Something's not right here, sister. And we want to address you. We want to exercise our God-given responsibility to love you. We care for you enough to let you know that what you're doing is wrong, and we're concerned for your soul. That's one specific structure of accountability, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work apart from church membership. Let me say it this way. Church discipline is inferred through church membership, okay? I can't unpack that, but if you want to know what I mean by that, then come in and talk to me. Church discipline is inferred by church membership, okay? Okay, there's another specific structure of accountability that we read about in the New Testament. It's leadership. Leadership within the local church. Hebrews 13:7 says very clearly that those who lead in his church will one day give an account. So that means that the elders of RBC, they have a responsibility, and someday they will give an account to God for you. Now, I don't think that we are responsible for everyone who visits on a Sunday, but we are responsible for those who are deeply committed to a local church, to this particular local church. And so for those who have said, this is our church home, yeah, I think churches that are not afraid of biblical leadership are the healthy ones, because they understand that biblical leadership is actually a means of grace. It's a means by which God helps us to mature and grow together. So these specific structures of accountability, they provide accountability. These particular relationships, church discipline, leadership in the local church, they provide accountability. But let me say to you this morning, that as important as church discipline is and leadership in the local church, the primary place of accountability in the local church is in the body that God has placed you into, where you're willingly allowing other people to see you, allowing other people to speak into your life, where you're walking together in this affectionate care and watchfulness over each other as you faithfully admonish and encourage one another. And God expects every believer to be exhibiting that kind of a commitment. We looked at 1 Corinthians 12 earlier. Paul continues his flow of thought in verse 20. He says this, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And then you drop down to verse 24. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And here's the important part. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Do you know what that means? God is telling me that I need you. That I need accountability. I need guidance. I need help. I've tried to be very intentional about placing myself into a position of accountability. First place of accountability is with the elders on this team. The elders hold me accountable, and I need that. I need I invite them to peer into my life and to regularly observe my life and to help me walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. There are other men in this room that are also doing that as well in my life. But I'm also accountable to every member of this church. And brothers and sisters, I'm so thankful for that. And I would invite you to pursue that as well. It's not a threat. We don't need to see that as a threat. It's the grace of God in our life. And as you place yourself in a position of letting other people know, where you're saying, I recognize that I'm accountable to other believers. And by membership, I'm publicly declaring that I'm in. I'm submitting myself to the accountability of this church. And so God has given you specific people in the church for that very purpose. God wants to form you and shape you into the image of his Son. And God has put arms and legs and eyes and ears and feet around you to do that, to accomplish his purposes in your life. So joining a church is like saying, I realize I'm a sinner and I need help. I need help walking this walk. And if I ever stray from the path of Christ, please come after me. That's how serious membership is. You're saying, I need you. And if I ever stray off the path, I want you to tell me, even if it means breaking fellowship with me, even if it means taking my name off the membership list. Folks, one of the primary means by which God sanctifies his church is in us submitting ourselves to each other out of reverence for Christ. That's number three. Number four, real briefly. Membership says, I recognize that I share responsibility for the lives of other believers in this church. I share responsibility for the lives of other believers in this church. See, not only are you accountable to the body, but you're actually accountable to some degree for the body. There's this mutual accountability that takes place in the local church. And once again, this happens through our involvement in each other's lives. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this very clearly. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we all share responsibility for one another's growth. And so we are accepting the fact that we are accountable to other people, yes, but we're also recognizing that we are accountable to some degree for other people. We saw in Galatians not too long ago that we need to be ready to share responsibility if we see a brother or sister in sin, to go to them and to humbly say, gently say, something's wrong here, where you're taking responsibility for their spiritual well-being. So membership is simply a public declaration, I'm part of the body. I want you all to know where I stand. I want you to know that you can count on me. I want you to know that I'm actually counting on you as well. And let me say this. I know there are different folks here at different places in regards to church membership. But I think the Word of God speaks to each one of you, whatever situation you're in. So there are those in this room who are not believers. What's God's word to you this morning? It would be, don't think about church membership just yet. What you need to do this morning is to pursue Jesus Christ, to find out more about Jesus Christ, and then to receive the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, that he's actually made a way for you to be at peace with God. He's secured for you the possibility of an eternal destiny in heaven. So if you haven't put your faith in Christ, don't think about membership yet. Continue coming on Sunday morning, but make it your goal to consider first the good news of Jesus Christ. There might be some of you in this room that are somewhat new to RBC, and I would encourage you, explore RBC, find out more about RBC, and we're gonna want to serve you as best we can as you seek to find out, is this the place that God is calling you to? We want to help you in the process of asking the Lord, is this the place where you are joining me? I know there are those of you who whose experience here is just to attend on Sunday mornings. And I would encourage you, don't just attend a church, commit yourself to a church. if you haven't fully engaged into the commitment of the local body, you are missing out. Don't just find yourself in on Sunday and out on Sunday after service. Respond to what the Lord is teaching you, calling people to commit themselves deeply to his work in a local church. And I know that there are those who are, in fact, committed to this body, but are not yet formal members for whatever reason. The elders and I, we want to make ourselves available to work through whatever issues are at hand. We want to sit down and collectively ask, what does the Bible say? Okay? What does the Bible say? To allow the Spirit of God to collectively teach us, and in so doing, bring unity that glorifies the Father and actually sanctifies the believer, sanctifies his children. And so our goal is to pursue unity and not the latter. Okay? We want to sit down and ask, what does the Bible say? And then pray that the Spirit would bring unity. Okay? Then there are those who are already members. And I would say to you this morning that this actually provides an opportunity for you to think seriously, am I actually fulfilling my commitments as a member? Am I actively engaged in such a way that reflects my commitment to the work of God in this local church and in this community of this group of people? I think we need to be careful not to think that church membership is primarily about the person becoming a member. This outside force saying, you got to become a member. You got to do it. Membership is primarily an outward declaration. It's a public statement that you're making to God and to everybody else saying, guys, I'm part of this body. I accept responsibility for being part of this body. I believe it's God's desire that I submit to the leadership team here. And so I'm accepting what this body's about, and I want all of you to know that. That's what membership says. So again, what's membership? It's a public declaration that says, I believe God saved me and joined me to this local church. I believe God is working in this church, and I want to commit myself to that work. I believe that I'm accountable to other people, that there's a God-given authority over me. I want folks to know that. And I believe I am responsible in part for other people. I want folks to be able to count on me. So if you're not a member this morning and you want to know more about membership, you want to know more about RBC, again, April 30th, I invite you, 11 o'clock here at the church building, come. And there's no pressure. No one's going to be forcing you to do anything. It's just a way of knowing here's what we believe at RBC and here's what we believe about church membership from Scripture. I invite anyone that wants to come to attend. Amen.